He wore number 14 here at Penn State. Yes, he did take my broadcasting class. He's now an analyst on the Charlotte 49ers TV network and also for Gardner Webb as a radio analyst, and that is Reginald Walker Jr. Reginald, so great to hear you on the other end, my friend.
It's great to be on, Steve. How are you guys? I tell you what, it's weird that I'm on today living in Charlotte, and it feels like State College down here.
You brought the weather with you. That's the problem. That's the problem.
That's
you brought
exactly
it with you.
Right. That's exactly right.
When you look at I was telling a story earlier that when I was on with Mark Packer during the summer, he said, what's the goal? And I said, the goal is to play a game. I said, the second goal is to play a second game, then play a third game. Is that how you feel as to how this has been playing out, that every week the goal is just to play one?
It is. That's, and you were so spot. I actually heard you talking about that, and it's exactly what hit my brain because as the Charlotte TV analyst, I do all their home games. I've done one game this year in their place because they've had multiple times where, whether it was them or the other team, that they've had to postpone and or cancel games. And then one week they lose an opponent. They call up Gardner Webb, who ironically I do their games. It's an FCS level team. I do their games for radio. That's 40 minutes down the road from Charlotte. That thing gets set. And then the day of that team, Gardner Webb, there's some back and forth in terms of who actually had to cancel the game, but there were positive tests on both sides. And this is a team in Gardner Webb that hadn't played a game all year anyway.
Right.
So to your point, you're absolutely right. I mean, Coach Will Healy at Charlotte has talked about it. The scariest thing is waking up Friday, waiting for the results, and maybe having to go tell that team, yeah, we're not going to play today, whether it's on us or the opponent. He said that's the hardest part about it.
Well, let's go back 1 week. Ohio State, Friday night, tells Illinois, we can't show up. Friday night. And Clemson, day of game with Florida State. They can't, Reginald, they can't work it out so they can play the game. And so there is no game. And that was the day of the game.
Yeah. And, the Clemson thing, and obviously living in the Carolinas, that got a lot of play around here. My first concern with that was there was a player for Clemson, and this is public information now, that had symptoms earlier in the week, but he was testing negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that player traveled, and then subsequently his last test, which was taken Thursday or Friday morning, I believe, and then they bust down. By the time they got there, they got the results, and that player is positive. Now, to me, my first thought is, and I'm assuming most other people, is why is that player traveling to begin with?
Right.
That becomes the first problem. So I think the biggest issue has been the testing protocols. You have a lot of teams that are testing the day of travel. And then I've seen and talked to some coaches in some different conferences. Their method is if you are the road team, you test Monday, Wednesday. Again, not the Big Ten who tests every day, but other leagues, Monday, Wednesday, and then Thursday if you are traveling Friday for a Saturday game. And then home teams are testing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Why hasn't the ACC adopted what the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are doing with daily testing? Do you have any idea? Since you're down in that area, has anybody said or answered that?
It's never really been answered, and I'll speculate a little bit. I speculate it's simply because if you actually look at the footprint, and this is just factual, if you look at the footprint, many of the states in the ACC footprint and the SEC footprint, to be frank, have higher numbers than a lot of other places. And I think they don't want to lose football games because it is that important to them to make sure those games are played. So they're going to do some different things. And look, I hearken back to the comment that Coach Dan Mullen at Florida made after they lost at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He says, hey, I hope we can have 100,000 in the swamp next week like we just had. And then 3 days later, Florida has to pause because they have a high number of positives in their program.
Including Dan Mullen.
Including Dan Mullen, right.
Including Dan Mullen. What has been the attitude of – it seems like Clemson's attitude has been, yeah, we're playing no matter what. Is that too general for me to say from 30,000 feet?
Not totally too general. I would venture to guess, right, because I'm not there every day,
right,
that there is some things that they're preparing themselves. Maybe they flip a guy's position to make sure they have enough healthy at whatever position they may need, but they're finding a way to play. You're absolutely right. And I think, you know, and that's one of the things that we have talked about, and I've gotten a lot of questions from people about is, well, look, why don't you just move a kid's position? And my response to that is, that sounds good until you're moving a kid that had never played offensive line in his life and he's 220 pounds right. to left tackle and your son is playing quarterback.
Right.
That changes everything.
Yeah.
And so I think, but when you're, with all due respect, when you're recruiting at a level like Clemson, I think Coach Sweeney plus the eligibility, additional eligibility that a lot of players, all the players essentially are getting this year, I think they're saying, you know what, if there's some true freshmen that we were saying we weren't going to play at all, we'll just plug them in there to make the numbers work so we can go play a game.
There are 10 bowl games that right now are canceled with the Las Vegas Bowl canceling yesterday. Charlotte has a bowl, which is down where you are right now. And, of course, there's also the ACC championship game. How strong is your feeling that I'm 100% that the ACC title game is being played. But how about the bowl game? Anything about that? Have you heard anything about whether Charlotte's going to be able to host its bowl or not?
There's some discussion, and actually there may be something coming out today. But that they're not going to play that game. And the main – I think there's two major reasons for it. Cases are going up in the state. But then we've just in the state of North Carolina, where the stadium sits, just so everybody's aware, Charlotte sits on the – basically touches the South Carolina border.
Right.
And the stadium is on the North Carolina side. There is additional – now, essentially, even if you're inside of a building, you're asked to – it's technically – it's a state mandate. You have to wear a mask, even when you're inside a building, regardless of how many people are around you. You're asked to wear a mask inside of a building unless you're in an office solo by yourself, and then it's okay to, quote-unquote, take the mask off. So I think that adds to the concern of putting a bunch of people in a stadium for, let's call it what it is, essentially an exhibition game, a late December exhibition game outside, potential for it to be cold, and another way to maybe pass on some more germs. And you've already got an NFL team, obviously, that plays in that stadium. So I think that's a factor as well, because then you're bringing this into that locker room also. So I think with the fact that there is no championship, quote unquote, on the line, and it's a bowl game that just changed sponsors. So it's technically in its first year.
Right.
I don't expect that game to be played at all.
Yeah, I think Belk was the sponsor before that, the department store, I think.
That's exactly right. It was the Belk Bowl.
Yeah, the Belk Bowl. So your view, obviously, you're going to be a Penn Stater through and through. So what's your view of what you've seen from Penn State so far, Reginald?
Yeah, I think, look, I'll say it this way, Steve. I think losing the Indiana game cost them two more games. Yeah. And we've talked about that, you and I, and anybody that loves sport and loves football, you cannot let a team beat you multiple times. I think the Indiana game beat this team at least one other week and probably lingered into the third week. If you look at just the fourth quarter of the Ohio State game, you see the talent that this team has.
Yeah.
You see that when they're playing with confidence, they can make some things happen. I think it was a team that felt like the expectations obviously were really high, and they tried to exceed even those expectations at the start of the year in terms of players. I look at this team and I don't see a group that's not playing hard. It's a group that's playing really hard.
Exactly.
And I think at times, and I've said this about Sean Clifford, and someone asked me, what's going on with the turnovers? I said, I think he's trying to be Superman, and he doesn't have to be.
Right.
And that was the running back.
And that was the difference last week. He just made plays last week.
That's exactly right. Just calm down, play football. And then now the one thing I did notice, and you know me, I'm not a huge stat guy.
Right.
But, you know, you obviously the Journey Brown thing happens. Then you lose Noah Cain. And everybody's saying, what are we going to do at running back? Well, I've always said, if you're recruiting well, just play them. You got no choice,
right?
And so Kevon and Keziah, those guys have done enough, and they've looked pretty good. And the thing I've noticed that jumped out to me, obviously the Indiana game, Penn State lost. The Michigan game, Penn State won. But those are the two games, right, the close game and the game they won, that a running back led the team in rushing. To me, that's a message. You got to turn around and hand the football off and let that big offensive line that has enough experience really get going and road grading people. Now, to that point, They haven't been consistent, particularly in the middle, where I thought they would be better on that offensive line. They've got more experience. Want to see more consistency out of those guys, but I think that's where it starts.
Right, exactly. And the other part, too, is we always talk about balance. And balance is not I throw 40, I run 40, or I run for 200, I pass, although it's nice to have 200. It's the threat of it. And that last week, Penn State, with its running backs, had a threat of the running game, which then made the passing game even better.
I totally agree, and I think with this run, it's so important to get the running game going with this group and with this team, also because of the system. And I've talked to coaches on that staff in the past, and one of the things I've said is I'd like to see more than zone-based principles, zone read-based principles in the running game. I'd like to every now and then get under center, and I know that's a different part of the offense, get under center and just run some old-school power off-tackle stuff and beat some people up a little bit too, just to mix that up. But you're absolutely right. You have to be able to establish that running game, particularly with this offense in the zone read game, to really create linebackers coming up so you can hit some of those slants. Because what I think people don't remember all the time is it's RPO based, right? And so with an RPO, if that run threat is not there at the mesh, there is nothing to pull and throw behind a linebacker's ear. So you have to win the line of scrimmage.
One final question. Two-thirds through of the way through an NFL season, I have to ask you about State College's Matt Rhule. How's he being accepted down there in Charlotte?
It's actually going fairly well. I think at first a lot of people were like, oh, who's this college coach? He doesn't know what he's doing. And then they saw some of the pieces he brought in. Robbie Anderson, oh, another Temple guy. What is this guy going to do? Well, Robbie at one point was leading the league in receiving. He's still up near the top. This offense is playing really well at times. They've got to get more consistent. And then defensively, they went all defense in the draft. There were some issues earlier in the year. They seem to be improving. People are starting to embrace him more and more. Now, I will say this. This past week, they weren't too happy. But Matt Rhule, I thought, was great in the postgame and taking responsibility. Put it simply, guys, they were up 24-13 in the fourth quarter. So obviously you're talking about a two-score game. One of the drives in the fourth quarter, they come out and go 9 straight passes. That was a red flag to me after the game. And then there were some other third down throws near the red zone later in the game, later in the game, where they could have run the ball. And even if you don't score, you kick a field goal, but you eat up another 40 seconds. So people down here were a little fired up. But after the game, Rhule went right to it and said, hey, listen, this is on us as coaches. The players did what they could to win this game. We kind of gave this game away. And even when, the stop sign was put up, and you guys know where I'm going here, yeah. When the stop sign was put up by the sports information people or the team PR people, he waved them off and said, no, I'm going to take all these questions because these people, you know, everybody deserves answers. So I think he bought even more support here, and I think a lot of people here thought this was going to be a 2 or 3 or 4-win team. He's sitting there right now with 4, with 2 very winnable games left down the stretch. So if this ends up being a 6-10 team, and my goodness forbid, a 7-9 football team, I think everything changes. But it's taken some time, but he's slowly won more and more people over.
Reginald Walker Jr., it's great to have you back with us. Appreciate you very much.
Anytime. I appreciate you guys. Take care. Stay warm. We are.